Welcome to the CrossRed Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, and Mortimer Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Today, we talk to the guys down at Zeus. We actually go through a nice little build party for a 2017 Jeep Sahara four-door. Actually, in the podcast and recording, you're going to hear me say 2015 a lot. Because for some reason, I thought my brother-in-law's Jeep was a 2015, but it's actually a 2017. So I'm giving you the correction before we even start. And so that's what we had going on here. But what I learned in talking to these guys, when they do a lift on a JK, that's like asking a world-renowned artist to draw you a stick figure. What they really like to do is fabrication. They're really into fabricating some pretty awesome rides. They had a few of them in there where they were doing, they're cutting the frame to get coilovers in and remote reservoirs on for shocks. It's a little more heavy duty than what I was asking them to do, but I figured my brother-in-law could use a little bit of help in terms of how to build his Jeep, so that's what I want to talk about. And most people out there are probably going to do a lift on a JK and put some nice wheels and tires on there, so it's going to be a bulk of the people versus the heavy duty lifts and builds that they're doing. But boy, they can do it all. I learned that in a short time of our conversation there. So up ahead, you're going to hear three people talk. You're going to hear Chad, you're going to hear Shane talk, and you're going to hear Joe. All right, gang, thanks for coming back. I'm sitting here on site. We're on site at Zeus Off Road in Burnsville, Minnesota. I'm sitting down with Chad again.
Hello.
And we wanted to kind of give you a little bit of an update on his a few different things and also talk to a few of the guys in his shop today. But first, I want to talk about the waiting room. Now, I've been to the old shop. I had some work done, and that's one of the first times we got to know you was at the old shop. And I want to say it was basically a lift. It was cold, and it had an office. It had two lifts, actually. And there was detritus all over. Okay, it wasn't really set up for a client-facing space. Now, I'm in your new place, and we got a TV going. We got a couple TVs going. Oh, cool. There's your buggy. And then
there's my old shop.
there's the old shop there too on the TV. We got some great places to sit. We actually have a water jug here now to drink some water. We got some good merchandise going on. So the client-facing thing, was that a big priority for you? For
absolutely.
New place.
Absolutely. Well, the old place was affordable. It's really scary starting your own business. So when you do that, you know, you don't want to put too much in, see if it, you know, works out for you. And my wife and I, Shelby, had an idea of what Zeus was going to be. And we were kind of testing the water. So we got a really good spot. It was right next to Iron Rock, so that helped us out. They were really good to us. And we were kind of teammates a little bit, separate businesses, but teammates a little bit. We would install their product. They'd be a great product, so we would install it. So that kind of worked out. But our lease was up. There was some construction going on there, so it was kind of time. And we were kind of getting bigger and bigger, thankfully. And so we decided to do another scary move, which was move the business across the town, basically, to a more professional building with a, you know, professional sign, more bays, and a customer waiting room, which gives a better experience.
And your location before was about 9,000 miles away from the Twin Cities.
Okay. Yes, it was far.
But now we are in the heart of Bloomington.
And Burnsville.
Burnsville, I'm sorry. And we're right next to the Burnsville Mall.
Correct, just south of the mall, yep.
So if you were getting some work done and you had 4 hours to kill, if that's the time frame it was going to take, you could be cruising the mall.
Yeah, we get customers all the time that will wait. Usually the stuff we do is a little bit too long to wait. So they'll run up to, there's an IMAX theater just north of us, right in between the mall and us. So they can go see an IMAX theater and then go to the mall. And that mall is dying, in my opinion. But there is a little secret down in the food court that has the best gyros ever. So I take business meetings there all the time, and they give me weird looks, and then they eat it, and they're happy. So.
That's awesome. And so the client facing has definitely gone up here, and I definitely enjoy it. This is my second time here. One time I came, you have an open house, right. And I came a day early.
Well, that's what Zeus is. It's customer experience. Yep. Everything. We educate. We bring people back in the shop. We want people to get comfortable right when they walk in the door.
Mm-hmm. And you had a couple new things to this shop. You added to it. Why don't you walk me through those? You said something about you're doing alignments now.
So yeah, we were subletting our alignments for a long time. because alignment machines are expensive and, you know, kind of building up. Finally, I was just a little frustrated with how some people were, they were doing good alignments, but it was just like one excuse after another of how they couldn't do it or it was close enough or whatever, and I strive for perfection here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the steering wheels absolutely straight, everything perfect, so I bought an alignment machine, so now Zeus Off-Road is offering alignments on site with computer printouts of everything that we've done. We explain what every number means on the printout, so that's another education experience for the customer.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys got lifts done in the past, you know, if you lift the vehicle, you're going to change the geometry a little bit on what's going on up front. And then the steering wheel is going to be probably cockeyed about 90 degrees.
Right.
And you have to get that straightened out and get the alignment done. And if you don't do these things, well, your turn signal won't shut off and on the right way.
Right.
And then you're going to have excessive tire wear.
Well,
and,
the biggest thing is any shop that you go to, if it's just getting stuff done, the very first thing that you see when you pick up your vehicle and you get in the driver's seat and you're driving down the road is the steering wheel's off. Mm-hmm. You never notice it if it's straight, because it's supposed to be straight.
Yep.
But if it's off just a little bit, you can tell, and it's super annoying.
It's going to drive you nuts.
Right, right. and so that's the extra mile, which should be the standard, but unfortunately is not.
So we got the alignment. Anything else that we're doing new here that we weren't doing at the old shop?
We have, just bigger builds, but we're now teaming up with Falcon Tire. And so we are doing, we have killer deals on Falcon tires, which are really nice because they have the MTs and the AT3s. The AT3 is kind of more of the highway tire, the all-terrain, and then the MT is kind of more aggressive tread pattern. But they also make the Trail, which is more of the smaller SUV tire. So like your Subarus, your Hondas make it look a little bit bigger and better. So if you do a little bit of lift to it, you can actually get more aggressive tire on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big perk for us as an off-road shop.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So we got a lot of new things going on at the shop. We got some new tires in there. And another thing too, last time we talked, in episode number 2, Chad was on. He talked about how he started his business, kind of his experience in all over the world, things he was doing. But you also mentioned, because you drove your truck there, not the Jeep, you're the first guy really to pick on. Like, you come to a Jeep podcast, off-road podcast. You
and own an off-road shop.
And he drives his daily. He goes, well, the LJ's in the shop. It's not running right. So then he sent me a text a few days later, says, I tore it apart. He had it all blown apart. So explain what was wrong with it and now what it's doing now.
So I put a stroker motor in it. So I basically bored out a 4.0 to a 4.7. Supposed to be a little bit more horsepower. It's debatable. What happened was the distributor gear rides on the camshaft. It's a famous problem on the 4 liters. It just wears the gear down on the camshaft. So the sync between the cam sensor and the crank sensor is off, creating or allowing the vehicle to die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what happened to mine. So it actually wore the gear out. So I ended up having to break the motor down all the way to the block, pull the cam out, put a new one in. Unfortunately, the company that made the kit for the 4.7 stroker no longer is around.
Okay.
So they don't make camshafts for it anymore. So the cam gears were different, the crank gears were different, the chain was different, everything was different. So it was just
a complicated problem. Got
one thing after another, right? Yeah. Ended up working through the problem, got it all fixed. It's now I drive it every single day now.
And it sat for months, right, before I busted you?
No, I didn't. Yes and no. It still worked. It still drove great. I still wheeled it all the time. But I knew that there was a little bit of a
problem.
Problem.
But now it's up and running, back to your daily again.
Yep.
And we're advertising your Jeep with all your product all over it.
Right.
So all of your work on there. So that's
right.
Awesome.
The whole reason I bought that Jeep when I first started was to have something to show people of how I build a Jeep, where I spend my money, where the you know, you don't see all that money. It's you know, underneath the drive shafts, the armor, the, you know, belly up skid plates, all that stuff that just makes it so you get home. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff is kind of secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have, but it's not necessary. I think that the biggest portion of your build should be underneath. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did on that one. Kind of, you know, Shelby did the, my wife did the Rebel Rally with it, there and back, Tahoe to San Diego. I've done every event here in Minnesota and Wisconsin with it, and so it's still going.
Still going strong. Well, that's good. Well, so there's our update on the shop. There's our update on the LJ. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to a couple other people in the shop that have some pretty important jobs, who have a lot of experience. I had a chance to meet with a couple of them beforehand, so I got an idea what their expertise is. So thanks, Chad, for stopping in, or I'm actually stopping to talk to you, I guess. But we're going to talk to a couple of the other guys now and kind of get their two cents.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. All right, we're back, guys. Today, I'm actually back at Zeus Off Road in Burnsville, and I have a chance to actually talk to people who actually do the work. Chad doesn't really do much of the work anymore. But he has some great guys that are working for him, so I'm sitting down with Shane, and I want to find out what's in the shop, what we're working on, and I see some pretty cool builds out there. And we're going to talk about, first off, is this TJ right next to us here. Kind of, what are you doing to this TJ, and why?
This TJ was a project that was brought to another one of our local shops, and did a whole bunch of work on it, and customer picked it up and just wasn't happy with the way that it turned out. He wanted more, wanted bigger axles, bigger tires, some of the intricacies of the Jeep straightened out and all that, and from there it just kind of exploded.
And you're doing a little bit of a lengthening to this Jeep, or you've done a little lengthening process to it. Where are we at now? So it's a TJ, was obviously standard, but now it's stretched a bit. Kind of fill me in on that.
It's at 102-inch wheelbase, so 5 inches stretch in the rear, 2 inches in the front. It's as far as you can go without moving the steering box on the front, so.
It's moved out a good bit. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys did some work to the fenders out back too. You put some, so it looks like some metal cloaks on there. And then on the back, you did a little customization. Was that right?
Yep. It came with the metal cloak fenders on it. And what I did was, in the rear, I moved them up and moved them back. So essentially highlighting the existing metal cloak fenders to give, you know, the tires as much travel as you can. Pushed it back against the body lines on it and made them match everything.
And you got some nice coilovers on there too. So you did some, in order to put that coilover in, what do you have to do to the frame? I know you have to notch it out a bit, right?
Well, on the rear, you have the coilover mounts that French into the frame tubes. And then from there, you just work with your angles and lengths and all that stuff to get ride height and all the travel that you need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. And what axles? You mentioned axles, and now it's running some different axles now. It's not running a 35 and a 30.
No, it's got a JK with 44 front from Dynatrac and a JK with Dana 60 from Dynatrac in the rear.
And it's running some 37s, but it's onto the big 40s, right?
Yep, I believe he has the 40-inch tires already. It's just, he's going to do all the beadlock swapping and all that himself.
Okay.
So it's set up for 40s, but it sits nice with the 37s.
Okay. So that's our first Jeep. I want to kind of go back, because if you haven't figured it out yet, Shane's been doing this a little while. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Shane. How many years have you been building off-roaders?
Well, about 25 years now. I mean, I started off doing more of your mud truck and, you know, the lift trucks and show trucks and such, and then kind of, as I got more into trail riding and out of mud trucks, started building this, and then professionally was what, 1999, 2000, I started working for Burnsville Off-Road here, mm-hmm. doing it professionally, and I've been dabbling in it ever since.
And he told me, I mean, we got to talking a little bit beforehand, and I was meeting the guys out in the shop, and you don't just have one Jeep or two Jeeps, it's kind of almost out of hand a little
bit.
It's how many Jeeps do you have at the house?
In the family, we have 10.
You have 10, so you're the guy wrenching on all these, I'm guessing. Is that right?
For the most part. My son does most of his own, you know, with some supervision. But
how old is he?
He's 17.
He's 17, so he's turning some wrenches at a young age, too. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yep, he's in love with it.
Well, good. And so you have a couple different JKs, TJ, I think you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And you have some XJs, is that right, too?
Yep, my son's got a 98 Cherokee. My wife's is a 2001 Cherokee. The Cherokee's her off-road rig.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she's got a JKU, and I just bought a two-door JK myself. That's going to be my daily driver.
Okay. Yeah, so Shane has been working for a few years now, a couple years. He has 25 years of experience, so he might be the guy that's working on your Jeep. If you're planning on doing some mods, he might be the guy to do it. You can tell that he's been working with different off-roaders for a very long time, so he knows what he's doing. It's not his first time working on something, so he's been doing it for a while. I'm looking back in his shop again, and I'm seeing a different Jeep back there, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's one I've seen online a bunch. And I know it's getting ready for a Moab. So kind of walk me through what you're doing with that guy. It's a little bit of a refresh, right?
Yep. This one of our local club affiliates, and I think everybody knows Frenchie in Minnesota, has run into him at one point or another. And this Jeep, like you say, is at all the trail rides that you go to, he's there. What we're doing on that is we're pushing the wheelbase out. So he had... It's running 4.5-5 inches of lift in it, stock wheelbase, so I mean, it's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone out to Moab quite a few times, and some of the climbs out there, wheelbase really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try and get as much into it as we can. And while we're doing it, we're taking his old corner armor off, putting new on, and while we're doing that, we're pulling the tube fenders and hood and all that stuff and getting it repainted, you know, pretty much refreshing all the visible scars from years of off-roading.
And he comes in every now and again, once a year. How often does he come in for this type of
he likes to have a few things done every winter, whether it be with us or other off-road shops. He kind of spreads it around.
Well, that's good. And I know that I've seen this Jeep out on a trail. I definitely follow mm-hmm. him on different things, and I think I follow almost everybody I can, I think, just to kind of see what everybody's doing, and if there's a trail ride, I want to go on it. So he's been around, and so every now and again, it sounds like he does a little refresh on that Jeep, so that's what it's in here for today. And then we have another one I want to touch base on. You have a long-term project here, and I was kind of getting a lowdown on that. That looks like a fun one. Can you give us a little bit where you're touching on that one?
This 1958 Willys, it's getting put onto an LJ chassis. So from, you know, the body bolts down, everything's gonna be modern. LJ frame, TNT suspension, built axles, we're putting an LS in it. And it's gonna have the appearance of a fairly stock 58 wagon.
But it's gonna scoot.
Oh yeah.
And it's gonna have some nice ride quality to it. It's not gonna ride like a, you know, wagon.
It's being built for a gentleman that is a true overlander.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out and finds mountain roads and desert roads and stuff, and he's off grid for a week at a time.
Oh, really?
So our number one goal with this, not only to make it cool, but it's got to be reliable.
Yeah, it's got to get you back.
Mm-hmm. And he bought this wagon done, brought it to us to look at it. He had some questions about how things were done, and it's escalated into this.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are redoing somebody else's project a little bit again.
Yeah, I believe that the first time that it was built to look good.
Mm.
Now we're going to make it perform.
Okay. You want to do both things, you know,
mm-hmm.
show and go. Okay.
Oh, this one will definitely go when it's done.
Cool. So there it is, folks. We got Shane. He's been doing this for 25 years. He might be the guy that's working on your Jeep. We also will talk in a little bit. We're going to talk to Joe about a build on a JK and how that would all work. And then, as we talked to Chad a little earlier, we also have the alignment shop working for us. So a lot of things going on here at Zeus Off Road in Burnsville. So just listen up some more, and you'll hear some more things that we have going on. Hey guys, we're back again. I'm sitting down with Joe Hintz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is the guy you would talk to when you want to have a build party for your off-roader, okay? If you want to come in and have a build plan made, he's the guy that's going to help you out. And so, luckily enough, my brother-in-law, Tyler, who is a listener,
of this, and he's also my brother-in-law, so we're going to talk about him. But he has a 2015 JKU Sahara, and he texted me not just a handful of days ago and goes, I think I'm ready for wheels and tires. And I asked him, are you going to take it off-road? He said, yes. He goes, I want to lift wheels and tires. And we went back and forth about 50 different text messages on what he wanted and a couple phone calls. And apparently I always call him while he's giving his kids a bath. And in the end, we kind of came to the conclusion that we got some planning to do. So I'm sitting down here with Joe, and Tyler gave me the power of attorney to make any decision I want. Nah, just kidding.
Sweet.
He'll have to make the final decision of what he wants. But at the end of the day, though, we have a budget, and we have an idea of what we want to build. So I kind of gave Joe a little bit of an idea of what we want, but we're going to kind of share that with you. We're going to sit down, kind of go through a build plan on a 2015 JKU Sahara and what we want to do. So what Tyler is looking for is originally he wanted to go a 35-inch tire, and I kind of talked to him. Maybe we have to have a 33-inch tire plan based on budget. He wanted to do the lift that you need to do for a 35. He also wants wheels so we can change that back spacing a little bit. And in talking to Joe, he mentioned a couple other things. So what kind of package to get a 35-inch wheel and tire, starting with that, what would you start with to kind of get a starter? What's a good wheel and tire package?
Well, you know, everything has to come down to the intent of what it's going to be used for per the individual, and then on top of that, the look that they're going for. So there are a lot of different components that go into a lift kit, and depending on tire size and all that, that changes everything too and what they want to do. So as far as wheels and tires go, there's a lot out there. I try to caution people against going with the cheapest option out there, especially if you're going to daily drive it. This is one of those things where you do get what you pay for in every aspect of it. And if you don't like driving the thing, it's not worth it anyway.
So if he doesn't want to do Steelys, we already talked about that. So
good.
The $90 Steelers are not in his deal. He did mention some of the ones you have on a wall, the look of that, he wanted to go maybe for a blacked out look.
Sure.
So I see you got something there. Why don't you give us the 411 on that?
So over there on the wall, we have a few different brands that we work with, specifically Black Rhino. We have Fuel. We've got XD. We have Moto Metal. And there are a lot of looks, so you can get, you know, more of a traditional, you know, round hole spoked look, or if you want, you know, like a five spoke, like kind of what comes on the JKs, or if you want, you know, bead lock versus not. I think for what he's looking for, though, I think a really good option might be like a Pro Comp wheel, just because they're very affordable. I don't have any on the wall because they won't give me one to put up there, but you know, that might be a really good affordable wheel, because you can usually get into a set of those for under 600 comparatively to most other wheel brands out there like Fuel or Black Rhino and stuff like that, where you're looking at 250 to 350 a wheel depending on how new and the style is and what it does.
Yeah, and well, if you spend a lot of money on wheels that you don't have to, you know, it might be overkill.
Right.
And I mentioned that one of my past cut podcasts talking about overkill. I mean, you want to be in the right sweet spot in most of the pieces, and so you're saying that's a good value is the Pro Comp is one you have in mind.
It works for that. For if you're really on a tight budget, they're good for that. They're aluminum wheels. They come in the right sizes, bolt patterns, and finishes. You know, it depends on the style too. They're a little simpler. You know, they're not as flashy, and they don't come in as many colors as some people like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got some people that will, you know, like, hey, I really want this brand new wheel that came out, but it's also $375 a wheel.
Yeah.
So it varies a lot.
Yeah, it can get real crazy real fast. And
and then throw bead locks in there too, and that's a whole other thing.
Are bead locks legal in Minnesota, yes, no, or?
So technically, they are not legal.
Okay.
They are not approved for on-road use. And the idea behind it is that they can...
I like
can...
how you say technically.
So here's the thing. Because there are so many different styles of wheels now that actually look like beadlocks, most people can't tell the difference.
Yeah. So I don't think Tyler's going beadlock, you know. I think he's more of a light off-roader, not the super hardcore guy, from what I know from him. But in the end, though, I think a good set of, what brand did you say again?
Pro Comps.
Pro Comps.
Yeah.
$600. Is that for five or is that for six? Or four or five?
It's about for five.
It's for five.
It depends on the wheel and, you know, where you get it and stuff like that. But,
and so you said aluminum, so it's going to be a little bit lighter, but we know we're going to have to make a change on the tailgate. okay, on a tailgate carrying kit. So you mentioned that, and we talked a little bit. So pause that conversation, and we're going to mention that on air. So okay, tell me why we have to change that tailgate deal a little bit.
So there's two reasons. One, depending on the back spacing and the offset of the wheel, as well as the width of the tire you get, a factory tailgate system will not allow that wheel and tire combo to fit. It's it's much wider.
So a stock JKU kind of has, what's that, 32-inch tires? Is that about what it is?
Yeah, and it's usually about 10 inches wide
or so.
Yeah,
the width, I was just going to say, the width isn't quite much. But if we're going to go to more aggressive, we're going to talk about tires in a second, but we're probably going to go to more aggressive all-train or maybe a mud train, and it's definitely going to be wider. It's going to be cheeked out. So that just the factory carrying stance isn't going to work for you.
Correct. There are affordable options to just change that offset out. TerraFlex makes one. I think it's like $40 or $50, and that just offsets the tire out. And that's totally a way he can go. Typically, though, over time, since a 35-inch tire weighs considerably more than the standard tire and wheel combo, the tailgate can start to crack and it'll warp a little bit over time, especially with wheeling and the balancing. Now, based off how much he drives, I think he could go a while before he has to do any sort of reinforcement. Predominantly, we do the TerraFlex reinforcement tailgate kit here. The reason being, it does everything you want it to, it fits up to a 37, and it looks neat, and it's not carried on the bumper.
And the other route you could go is a bumper carry style, which then you change out the whole bumper, but then you have to open one tailgate before you open a second tailgate.
Correct.
So I like the idea of using the one you're talking about. I think I know what it is. It uses this. It just replaces the hinges. Mm-hmm. It's a reinforcement kit for the hinges, basically, so it can handle a heavier tire. So you just have one hand, open it up, and
exactly.
You go again. I know this because I've been looking at it for my TJ.
Right.
So something similar to that for mine, because I don't want to have to spend $800 on a new bumper just to carry a tire.
Well, here's the other thing with it too. In our fine state, it being in the north, salt, things like that. The winter is really, really hard on stuff. So that's the other thing with going with all of these components, specifically with the bumper tire carrier option, is those pivot points typically will seize in the winter up here.
Yep.
After one or two winters, it's going to be considerably harder to open that thing. So that can pose a unique challenge. Chad and I have actually cut off several of these things too. So,
and that's for the bumper style rear spare tire carrying system. That's why the idea of using that reinforcement kit, I think it's cheaper anyhow. I think
some of them are, yeah.
Yeah, $400 or $500 versus the $800 bumper setup.
Correct. The TerraFlex one is a lot more, but it's a little bit more modular, but there's other companies out there. Rugged Ridge makes one, for example.
Yeah.
Does a similar thing. I think Rough Country does too. So
yeah,
there are options out there for that.
Yep. And so that's these are things, the reason I want to do a build plan, talk about, these are things you don't hear about. You just look at a lift kit and tires, you don't think about, okay, I need to think about the spare then. Mm-hmm. And people don't think about that. And the wheels, you know, which wheels, and you might go overboard or not buying enough of a wheel to kind of do it. So that's why I wanted to sit down and really, you know, make sure Tyler's making the right decisions.
Sure. The other thing no one thinks about when they're doing this too, new lug nuts. So you need, most aftermarket wheels will not work with the factory lug nuts. They're too big. So getting a aftermarket lug kit, we sell those here. They're usually like $45. If you want black, they're less. If you want chrome, they're a little narrower, so they fit inside those holes a little bit better, so you can fit a socket in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, tire pressure sensors. So the JK has a tire pressure monitoring
GPS,
system.
Yep.
So most people want to go, oh, well, just reuse my old ones. Well, by the time you
rip it apart,
it's the same price as getting new ones. And now that's hoping they don't break on the way out, which they can sometimes.
Yeah. Side question. What do you do with the other tires? You're taking wheels and tires off. What happens to those?
So it depends on what you want to do with it. We have a lot of people. That's one of the reasons why I like providing new sensors too, is people then can take their old set and sell them.
Yeah.
Someone out there is usually looking, whether it's they've got an older Jeep and they want to freshen up the look with new JK wheels, or they got the 16-inch Steelies on the Ultra Basic Sport or whatever, it gives you an option to usually get rid of these things through a Facebook group, garage sale, whatever.
Yep, and then you know, might make $100 back or $200, whatever it might be.
Depending, yeah, if you got, you know, Rubicon Recon rims or something like that, you know, you can usually get a good chunk of change for that too.
Yeah, And that's, you know, Terry, I had him on one of the podcasts, and he actually bought Rubicon takeoffs for his rock sliders and mm-hmm. wheels and tires. And he bought it from a guy who never is going to take it off-road.
Nice.
His Rubicon. So the guy bought a Rubicon, has never taken it off-road. So, so you know, benefited Terry. So he got the whole,
sweet.
Whole set of takeoffs. So I mean, my client, well, I've helped a few people get Jeeps in the past, but Kelly did the same thing. My client Kelly, who bought a brand new JL Sport. Mm-hmm. I think it had like 4,000 miles on it, actually. And he bought Rubicon takeoffs for the whole thing. He got a yeah. smoking deal. And so he goes, are these good? I'm like, yeah, buy those right now. Buy those. So pretty cool. So now we got a couple things. We didn't get to talk about which tire. We started with the
sure.
wheel.
Sure.
So we get the offset right. Then we went straight into the tire carrier. But what tire would you recommend? You know, we know we have these guys are kind of helping you out here at the shop. But what tire is out there that we could look at?
You know, the Falcons are great tires. They're very affordable. Depending on which ones you want to go with, too, there's in sizes, that changes everything. But the Falcon Wild Peak AT3W has turned out to be a wonderful tire. Every single person we've ever put those on, they love them. They're quiet. They do great in the snow. They're actually Alpine rated. So mm-hmm. they have the little mountain symbol with the snowflake on there.
Mm-hmm.
They do great. And they actually perform pretty well off-road, too.
Hey gang, just a quick note from one of our sponsors, M&MJeeps.com. The feature vehicle this week that I want to talk to you guys about is a 2012 four-door Sport. It's a nice color blue. It's on the lot right now. It's a soft top. I mean, it's all ready for summer for you. And also, if you're looking to do a little build process, this whole episode is actually about a 2017 Jeep Sahara that we're building up. But this is 2012, not much different. But it's ready to go. It has a nice touch screen for the radio. All this for under 18 grand. I think that this would be a great vehicle to have if you guys are looking for a Jeep. So it's on the lot at M&MJeeps.com. It's a nice color blue for you. And if you have any questions, you know, contact them down at M&MJeeps.com. And also check out their social media sites on Facebook and Instagram.
No worries.
But the AT3...
Yeah, it's AT3W.
Okay, that's all-terrain. And I know they make a mud-terrain too, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that's the ones I've been kind of peeking at.
Yeah. And those are both really good options. They're affordable for, let me think here, under 35, excuse me, 435, they're under $300 each.
Okay.
And tires predominantly will eat up most of your budget, actually, in a lift kit. Wheels of tires typically eat up more than half of it.
Yeah.
So finding a good deal, a good budget on it,
especially if you're buying
really
five.
Well.
When people think about buying tires, they usually buy four.
Yes.
But if you're changing tire size, you better think about getting that spare too.
Yeah. Everyone can kind of see it. It's a good way to save yourself. You know, typically whatever the average is like $400 or $500
mm-hmm.
by not doing anything to the back, but then you got that stock spare back there, or you can do a delete kit too.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
There are options for that where basically most delete kits, you get rid of the spare tire carrier that's bolted onto the back of the tailgate, and then they kind of clean up the rear look. There's a vent actually back there that's really unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
So these kits, they usually cover that up, and then they relocate the license plate up off the side of the Jeep and put it in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with brake light and a light for the license plate usually, and a nice little panel to cover up the license plate hole that was once there.
So if you go to that route, you probably want to have AAA.
it helps.
Have something like that. Maybe a plug kit that if you're going to go off-road, you can plug that. And we talked about that one of our previous episodes where my buddy Brent gashed his tire, gashed it, and we were able to put six plugs in it and got him home.
Oh, my God.
He got home, and then he said that next morning it was flat as could be, so that's where he found his 33-inch Mickey Thompsons online.
<It's> time.
So, he went from 30 to 33 pretty quick on that day. But you kind of need to know how to do those things. We took the time to say, well, we got a spare, but let's try to figure out how to use these plugs. And
we
took the time to figure it out. Hey, we finished wheeling up in Gilbert. We moved the rock. Let's just say we moved it a little bit. So I didn't do it because I was right behind him. I didn't want to have the same fate. So I moved that rock before I tried going up. It was definitely a sharp guy that needed to get out of the way. But So having a plan for your spare is always important. So the delete kit, very inexpensive, but then again, you run a risk of, if you don't have AAA to kind of help you out, if you get a flat, you're in trouble.
Right.
So it's I see more people doing the delete kit. I think Tyler might be a spare tire guy. So sure. I think he's ready to kind of
keep
that.
There's a look to it, you know. Yeah. There's a look to it that some people like or don't like. Or whatever. I know Chad doesn't like running a spare. I do. You know,
so running a spare, not running a spare, saves all that weight. That weight's just hanging back there.
Correct.
Some guys will take that off when they go off-road. They'll take that off and leave it at the trailhead. You know, mm-hmm. if they're going to trailer it anyhow, they don't bring it home with anyhow. Like, I'm trailing home, I'll be able to get back to my trailer and pull it home on the wagon. So there's a plus and minus to that. Especially how much does a tire and wheel weigh? A 35 with aluminum, you know, a couple hundred pounds probably, or 150-ish, 100 and a half
or so.
And so not having that hanging out there. And some people actually put it in the back. I was just out there talking about a Jeep that's out there, and it was you could put it right in the back seat where the back seat would be.
That can happen. You lose a considerable amount of cargo space, and then also with wheeling, you do need to make sure you secure that, because that is one thing that if
becomes a projectile real fast. Even if you're not willing, you just
exactly.
If somebody cuts you off and you happen to rear end somebody, you got a 150-pound projectile coming at you. So
right. It's like another person.
Yeah. We actually, before we started recording, guys, we were out there talking, a bunch of us, and we were talking about that very thing, because I commented on Jeep Wrangler Forum, our Facebook group, the Jeep Wranglers Owners Club, whatever it was, and somebody said, here's my plan. I'm like, how are you going to secure that so you don't have a big projectile coming at you, either off-roading or just on the road?
Bungee cords do not work for that.
Rats and straps are a little okay, but I think this is a better way. So,
well, and keep in mind, too, the tie-down points in the Wrangler, like the four doors, they have these little tie-down points. They're only rated for so much.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well. So they do make mounting kits that do go in the rear. So that's something else that you can get. I know we're getting a little away from the build, but there's other options back
there.
These
are things that come up. Mm-hmm. And why it's important maybe to get that, what'd you say, Rugged Ridge had a plan, and you said another brand too for new tailgate hinges. What was it?
Yeah, like? I think Rough Country makes one. You know.
So there's ways to kind of get that around that. And then you might have to also move that third brake light. We live in a time where you have to have a third brake light. Mm-hmm. And so there is a kit, part of those kits have that built in, or you can move that?
Correct. I know. I don't know for a fact on the Rugged Ridge or the Rough Country. The Terraflex one definitely does. I actually have it on my Jeep. Mm-hmm. So that one does have that ability to relocate that third brake light.
You know, so these are all things you got to think about, because what you don't want to do is get pulled over at any given time. So you want to keep legal. So that's important to have. So now mm-hmm. we haven't really committed to having a 33 or 35. And the reason we do lift kits is to clear, so we don't have tire rubbing. Okay. You know, we don't just do lift kits to lift real high. We just don't want a tire to rub. And so that's why we might do a leveling kit or a small lift. Now, what lift might I need to get clear a 35?
So bare minimum would be 2 inches. If you're gonna wheel, we recommend 2.5 at least.
Okay, so 2 and 2.5. Now, this is why I'm sitting here, guys, because I and my brother-in-law were both looking at this and we're like, well, we need a 3.5 inch lift. You know, so I go, before we go and start clicking the order button and buy it now type of feature, I'm gonna go talk to the guys at Zeus and talk to Chad and yourself, Joe, and say, what do we really need? So 2 to 2.5 inch lift on a JK will help us clear a 35. So what are some brands and models you might look for that?
Depending on what you're looking to do, that can change. So if you're looking for just the 2-inch lift, most of those are just like a basic, you call them a budget boost. They use mm-hmm. a spacer.
Okay.
The downside of these is there's not a whole lot of performance gain in them. And really, it's mostly aesthetic. You can fit a 35 under there.
Yeah.
You're gonna rub, so there's other components that we're gonna wanna get, you know, bump stops, things like that that'll help and prevent you from rubbing. But the most 2.5 inch kits, that's kind of where you start to get into the real suspension change. You know, you're getting new springs, you're gonna get new shocks, you're gonna get track bar relocation brackets, you're gonna get bump stop extensions, things that a lot of people don't consider, and even myself, when I first started out in this stuff, you're like, oh, it's lifted, great. and before that, you're like, oh, what's all this other stuff that I need? What are those things?
Yeah.
You know, brake line relocation and things like that.
So when you look online and you're on different websites that are out there, you might say, well, this one's $400. Why is this one, you know, $2,000?
Right.
You know, but the one that's 2,000 might have all those things built into it. Am I right? We might have the...
Correct.
All that stuff kind of comes with the kit.
Correct.
Where if you buy the $400, $500, $800 kit, you buy it, then you're going like, well, now you can buy all this other stuff on top of it. So now I'm back to that same price. So you have to look at the details. What actually comes with it, because you might be surprised on, like when I did mine, I didn't know I had to do the transfer case drop.
Sure.
You know, and I did the whole thing, and then it was something simple. I'm like, oh, now I get this vibration, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I did this simple transfer case drop for now until I want to go to the slip yoke eliminator deal.
Correct.
So I was bummed out because, you know, it was done, and then I had to go figure out some more stuff.
Right. But, and that's stuff that we try to avoid here, too. We want to get, you know, I feel like sometimes it does kind of surprise people because they're like, well, my buddy did it for this. This is all it cost him, and he only put this in there. And I go, yeah, that's true. But there's other pieces to prevent potential damage to your vehicle on and off-road that you could very well need depending on the height you pick.
Yeah, yep. And so, you know, like I said, Tyler plans on starting off-road, and at one point he did have a motorcycle, he did do motocross, so I'm thinking he's actually going to go off-road with me someday, so I'm excited. He's listening to this right now, probably laughing at this part, but in the end, though, so we got to this point here, and then we got the install fee and everything. We have a budget right around $4,000 is what we kind of talked about.
Sure, sure.
So we've talked about wheels and tires, we talked about different tire ideas, and you said... we had some we could probably get in. I don't know if we even picked a tire. Do we pick a tire yet?
If we go with that AT3W, they're about $280
a piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can usually. That's what? What's 280 times five?
Three times five is 15. So $1,500 bucks.
Yeah, about that. So.
Yep. That came underneath my budget of $2,000. What I thought.
Sure. Sure.
But the idea there. So if we go with that, we're pretty close to that number, am I right?
Yeah, we're getting there. Lift kits can wild greatly in pricing, mm-hmm. and that's where also you can get into it. And the pricing is affected by the manufacturer, so which ultimately is, where is the kit actually made? Is mm-hmm. it made here in the U.S.? Is it made overseas? What are the quality of the components? What are the styles? The shocks change the price very quickly.
So let's talk about that, because I know that some shocks, like if you look at the kit, they'll say that this kit includes the basic shock, you know, but then there's also the super awesome shock with a reservoir, or it has that certain brand name on there that seems to double the price.
Sure. Yeah.
But also those work a little better too. So tell me, why would a shock make that much of a difference?
So the shock is what's dampening everything between you and the road. Mm-hmm. That's what its purpose is. So when you're actually, and it also affects wheeling too. I mean, when you're out there bouncing around and stuff like that, you don't want to feel the trail come into the cab. You're going to have back problems. Mm-hmm. So this affects your ride quality. And this is huge, especially if it's a daily driver for you as well. I get it if it's a trail rig and you don't care about this thing and it's just go out there, beat it up, because everything you're going to put on it, you're going to break.
Yeah.
So just replace stuff.
Yeah.
Fine. But if you're daily driving these things, which most of our people around here are with them, they need something decent.
Mm-hmm.
I usually say about probably a good shock or Bilstein. We like the 5100 series I'm running on my Jeep right now. That's usually the lowest quality you're going to want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good entry-level shock. It does everything you need it to, and it performs well on and off-road. Mm-hmm. And those are about 100 a piece.
So 100 a corner. Those are one each corner on these guys.
Correct. Okay. So an average 2.5-inch lift kit that we might install usually is about 1100 to 1300.
Okay.
And then it takes between 4 and 5 hours to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
After doing a lift kit, you're going to need an alignment too.
And you do that here, as we learned with Chad earlier.
Yes, yes. This is.
He told me all about the alignment too. So
I don't need to go into that then.
Yeah, so. We talked about having a steering wheel 90 degrees from where it should be and you're going straight down the road. So we discussed that piece already. So we know about that. So yeah, we got some Bilsteins and we got some other options, but the Bilsteins probably, you know, the entry level you would want to go, not the bargain basement guys that are there, but 100 a corner, that's not so bad, especially if you get a smoother ride out of it. But that's where some of the money should be spent, is on that, because that's what gives you a smoother ride, is what you're saying. So that's what we want to have.
Correct. And your springs also play into that a little bit. Some manufacturers tune their shocks specifically to their springs. There's a lot of variables that go with that, so I highly encourage people to do your research into what you're looking at. And if you have questions about this stuff too, I can certainly help and do a build for you and see if we can make an option as well.
Okay. So I think, Tyler, when you're listening to this, we think we're pretty close to that, but I want to kind of go worst-case scenario. Say we come out to here, and this is just a couple bucks over.
Yeah.
Our fallback plan is a 33.
Yep.
Now, this one of the 33, we could go to the leveling kit piece. We could go that route, or we could do a smaller lift. Definitely the wheels and tires, tires are going to be a little cheap. Wheels are probably the same damn wheel.
Sure.
But the tires are going to be just a few bucks cheaper. So we do have an alternative to come back and say, well, let's go with a 33.
Correct.
I think a JK on 33s, 35s looks great. You can daily, you can still fit it in your garage.
Yeah. Depending on when your house was made and where you live. You know, I know some folks in downtown Minneapolis have a hard time getting into their spot, but...
See, this, you know, this kind of surprised me. It only needs a 2.5-inch lift.
Yeah.
So you could buy a higher quality 2.5-inch lift and come out with a great lift, great riding machine, and come out with still in the right budget. Because, like I said, we were poking around and looking at different things online. He was sending me a bunch of stuff, and we were in a 3.5-inch range. And I think, but that's, sometimes they put that on it because they want you to buy a more expensive lift. They're trying to sell you something.
Sure.
But they're also assuming that you're not going to change the offset. You're not going to change your wheels. They're just saying, okay, if you stay with the stock wheels and tires, yeah, you need a 3.5-inch lift. But if you're moving that offset, which means you're moving that wheel and tire out a little bit away from the body center point, you're going to have more room to move that tire and more room for articulation.
So that's a huge part of it. There's a couple things with wheels that come into that in the measurement. So you have kind of two parts. They're similar and they're different, but you have backspace and offset. And every lift kit requires a little bit different setup depending on how they've been made and how they work. Also, another option, instead of doing wheels, you can also do wheel spacers.
Mm-hmm.
Wheel spacers do get a bad name out there. We've found most times where those get into a problem is when they're installed improperly and poorly maintained. Mm-hmm. So we've actually done wheel spacers. They're a very affordable way to use your current wheels for the meantime until you're able to get different wheels too.
Mm-hmm. I run wheel spacers on my Jeep, so
full
disclosure, and I did install it wrong, and I fixed that though. So, but that was my fault. I got that all fixed now, so no worries. Well, cool. Well, this has been eye-opening for me in terms of learning a lot more about what it takes to get a 33 or a 35 on there. And what else would you like to add?
I have one piece that a lot of people don't consider with this too, and that's your speedometer. Okay.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different, they're called tuners or programmers or what have you, but the lights are flickering because they're welding in the shop, so it's a little weird. But and what these things do is they, especially on automatic Wranglers, it reprograms. So your Jeep has a computer in it, and it thinks that it's still running its stock size tires.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to a 35, your tire, your speed is going to be off because the tire size is different. So you may think you're going 65, and in reality, you're going 59.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. It depends what you do, but I don't remember the exact equation.
I think you're going faster.
Yeah. I'm like,
If you think you're going 60, you might be going 65.
Yeah, right. So there's a component to that that you got to keep in mind. So we offer, and you can go get them as well online. You know, everyone has deals, but we offer different tuners from reputable companies that work with this. Also changing your tire pressure. The Jeep thinks that it's got it stock tires on there. It usually wants between 36 and 38 PSI. Well, you go to a 35 or 33 even, and usually those will ride. They're a different compound tire and stuff, so they'll ride a little different. So you'll want to lower your tire pressure in those to, say, down to 32, 30, 28. Every single one's a little different in what it wants, where it's comfortable for you also, its preference.
Yep.
So without rechanging that, your tire pressure monitoring light's going to be on. Some of these tuners allow you to disable that, but if you have sensors in there, it's going to read it. So now you got to reprogram that as well.
So on a JK, that's all on the computer, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I know on a TJ, I know there's some little gear drive thing they have to do, and that's a little different.
Correct.
I know that's for the older guys, but there's something in there you got to change. And I know newer vehicles are going to use all satellite. I know there's a different way to do a satellite piece where you have a little thing that just kicks off a satellite. I've seen that on a recent build online. And I thought that was really slick. Instead of having to worry about any gear that's going on in the LJ or TJ or anything. They just, you know, we'll mount it off a satellite, and we know based on that what we're doing.
Right.
But still, the TPS deal is a big deal. You don't want to have any extra lights on it, because if something's really wrong, you want to know that.
Correct.
You don't want to be going down the road and like, well, that light's always on, I don't care. And really, you got 8 pounds of pressure in your passenger rear, you just don't know it. So, you know, to get the tuning done, and that's all, just plug it in, some guy goes in there and fixes that and changes the parameters on that, I'm guessing.
So that's one option, and that's usually done at the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
A dealership is going to charge you a large chunk of money that is pretty much near the same price as getting your own tuner. And then you control the options. You can change it whenever you want.
We're pretty busy here at Zeus Off-Road.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry if you're listening to this and you're the one calling. I'm not ignoring you.
We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you soon here. So there is these tuners out there. They provide you a lot of different options. You can get them for usually just under around $200. A dealership's probably going to charge you 150-ish, give or take $20, to reprogram just for that. Just because that's what they charge, so just pull it in the shop and do some work with one of their techs. So this gives you the opportunity, now you own it. So you own this little calibrator device. One of them is an AEV ProCal that we've used and had great success with. Another one is a Super Chips FlashCal. There's several other brands out there, you know, that different companies make. Those two, we trust them. We've worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you the option to do, so say you're going to go down the road, like I know Tyler's going to do gears someday. You need to reprogram those as well with the computer,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have an automatic. So changing that's important. Changing the tire pressure parameters is important. And this will also recalibrate for the speedometer, your fuel economy, all those things. And then depending, like with the new JLs, there's so much computer-driven technology in them. With one of these other kind of tuner brands that they have, you can alter all kinds of stuff in there, from lights to how the sway bars work to every, you know, little tiny detail can be changed.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a user manual or a YouTube guide on there somewhere.
Yeah, there's plenty of those out there.
Well, cool. Well, now we have a bit more idea. So there's, you know, this is a great, you know, great plan. This is what a build party, what I call it, or a build session with the guy, what it looks like, and they'll have a sheet for you to break it all down and give you the what it looks like installed for the 33, which different lifts you might use. And so he has it all, his, you know, Joe has it all at his disposal to kind of put this together for you. So Tyler, we have a start for you, and I am going to feature too a vehicle that's going to be, you know, I'm going to feature, talk about one of the Jeeps that says M&M Jeeps, and then it's another JK. I think it's a similar JT what Tyler has. And so if you buy that one, you can come down to Zeus Off-Road and have these guys do a similar process for you.
Absolutely.
So, well, thanks, Joe. This is great.
Thank you so much, Mitch.
So there you have it, folks. I call this episode the JK Build Party at the Zeus Off-Road Shop there. But basically, that's what it is. You can go in there and talk to the guys and kind of put your dreams down on paper, what you want to do your off-road rig. And the guys down there, Chad, Shane and Joe, they can kind of help build the project that you want and kind of put it all on paper, give you a nice little budget to go along with that you can do. And always remember that our sponsors, we want to thank our sponsors, M&MJeeps.com in Brainerd, Minnesota, and also Zeus Off-Road. Like, this whole episode is mainly about Zeus today, so you got to hear all about what they do down there at their shop. And again, remember that if you go to M&M Jeeps, you pick up a used Jeep from them and take it down to Zeus Off-Road, you get a $500 credit towards your build. And then if you get some work done with Zeus Off-Road down in Burns, Minnesota, you get a nice hat or t-shirt of your choice. So if that's what you're looking for, looking to do some projects, you guys have a little bit of an idea what that might look like for you. Again, thanks for listening to the Crossride Off-Road Podcast.